If you have your Bible, open up to 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy in chapter number 2. Just for a few moments this morning, I want to look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verses 22 through 26. This is a go-to passage for me to help me in my task of evangelism and in my task of engaging in apologetics, and we're all called to be evangelists. Amen. All Christians are called to give a defense for the reason of the hope that's in you, and all Christians are called to go, according to the Lord Jesus, and make what? Disciples.
Amen.
All Christians should be looking for opportunities with unbelievers to talk to them. What is the Lord working in the person's heart that you're sitting next to? What is it that I could say to them? Are they a Christian? Where's an open door to speak about Christ? All Christians should be examining everywhere they go, looking for opportunity. And if you look for an opportunity to talk to the lost, God will give you one. They're all over the place. And the Lord will open a door if you're looking for it. Problem is, we don't think about that enough, do we? We need to think about the lost people around us, if they're a Christian, and how to engage them. Now, when you do engage them, 2 Timothy 2, 22 to 26 needs to be a pillar text in your mind. This text must be something that you return to often as you reflect. Look in verse 22 and we'll read it. Paul tells Timothy, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will."
Amen.
Now, Paul is talking to Timothy, which is the qualified person here, is to be an elder. This is the elder's responsibility. This is something that he tells Timothy to do as an elder, to do the work of an evangelist, fulfill his ministry. But this is a model for all of us as Christians to follow. We should all follow this section, because Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." So follow my example. And one of the first things that you need to realize is that your character matters in evangelism. Your holiness matters in evangelism. Before you talk to lost people about God, you need to talk to God about lost people.
Right.
You need to be communing and walking with the Lord in righteousness and holiness. Otherwise, whatever you say won't matter to the person you're talking to. Your walk, give your words weight. Your walk in life, your holiness, they give what you say a certain amount of weight to them, where people will listen if your life is walking in holiness. Verse 22, "Flee youthful passions. Run from sinful things and run to holy things. Righteousness, faith, love, peace. Those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." Your holiness matters. You need to be walking with the Lord, communing with the Lord, before you're able to answer and talk to lost people. Walk with the Lord. Keep your character in check. It's these things that draw their attention to you. Peter says that people that see your holiness, they are shocked that you don't engage in what they do. There's an automatic taken back factor for these people. They're shocked at you. You've already started the conversation before you've opened your mouth by your walk. In verse 23, he tells us something very important. Have nothing to do with foolish and ignorant controversies.
Amen.
Because they breed quarrels. There's a lot of discussions that unbelievers will try to get you into that is a foolish and wasted time endeavor. There's a lot of unbelievers that do not care to find out the answers to their questions that they pose to you. And you are told, have nothing to do with a controversial discussion that just goes on and on without ever ending. Because there's some people, according to chapter 3, verse 7, who are always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. They're always in learning, but they never get there. They never arrive at the place, which is the knowledge of the truth, which is where the Lord brings people when He saves them.
Yeah.
Knowledge of the truth. They're not after that. So if you engage in a conversation with someone that's controversial, something that really doesn't matter, non-issues, like an atheist wanting to have a scientific discussion with you about the accuracy of Genesis, you don't need to enter into a scientific discussion with someone who has no basis to argue from science. He denies God. Life is meaningless, and there's no amount of things in the world that are unchanging. It's constantly in flux. There's no God. We don't know if tomorrow's going to be like today. We have no clue what's going to happen. We're just floating around in space. And you want to talk to me about science? Are you kidding me? Science depends upon the uniformity in nature, which depends upon God to keep things the way they are, so that my calculations today will affect tomorrow. And I know that they will, because God never changes, and He continues on in history bringing things to their end. But they don't have that. So I'm not going to enter into a discussion on the morality of Leviticus with an unbeliever. That's what they're going to talk to you about. Don't enter into a foolish, wasted time of a controversy. Stay away from those things. Keep the main thing the main thing, because it's going to lead you to be a quarrelsome type person. You're going to get agitated. You're going to get upset, because they're not really wanting to know the answer. They're not seeking to know what the answer is, because as soon as you give them the answer, they're going to run off to another question. You're going to answer that question, and they're going to run off to a third question. And on it goes, ever learning but never arriving at the knowledge of the truth. Have nothing to do with things that are not the issue. You want to target the issue. The issue is not how to make sense of morality in Leviticus, but why do you care about what's moral? What is morality from an atheistic perspective? Why is this wrong in your mind? Don't defend the Bible. Ask them why they even have a leg to stand on to attack it. Have nothing to do with controversies. Verse 24, the Lord's servant, that's you, that's me, we must not be quarrelsome, but kind. It's one thing to disagree, it's another thing to be disagreeable. When you're talking to people, you don't need to have this quarrelsome, trying to win an argument type attitude. Don't be quarrelsome, but instead, you need to be kind to the people that you're talking to. You need to be able to teach them. You're going to need to know your Bible. Instruct them. Patiently enduring evil, to correcting his opponents with gentleness. So here is our instruction. We do provide a correction, but we answer the fool according to his folly. We talk to people about the real issue of them running from God and justifying their sin. The reason that they don't want to be a Christian is because of some sin. And your job is to put your finger on that sin and to call them out of that sin. Don't waste time with non-issues. Get down to the bottom line of why they are suppressing the truth of God. Find out what that is. And then you're going to have to engage in conversation with them, and you're going to have to be kind to them. You need to be nice to them. You're not going to want to be, because they're going to be attacking what you believe. But you need to be kind to them. Teach them, and look at this, patiently enduring evil. You need to be patient as you endure the criticism and the attack that they level at you. Be patient about that. Verse 25, correct them with gentleness. Now let me tell you what's going to help you to do these things, because you're talking to people, and it's hard to do these things. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to be kind. It's hard not to get agitated. It's hard not to get worked up. It's hard to be patient. It's hard to correct them with gentleness. You just want to slam them sometimes, or yell at them, or say, "What's the matter with you?" It's hard to do that. What is our motivation for doing this? Look at it. God may perhaps grant them repentance.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
You cannot change that person. No amount of argumentation, no amount of knowledge, no amount of persuasive and clever rhetoric and argument could ever affect that person. The only way they're going to be changed is if God decides to grant them a change of mind.
Amen.
God has to change their mind. So stop getting so worked up about talking to them. You're not going to change them anyway. That's going to help you to be a little more patient. That's going to help you to endure a little bit more evil. I'm trusting God. I can't get worked up and change them. Calm down. Relax. God's got to do it. And if He doesn't decide to do it, you're not going to be able to do it either. Just let it go. Forget it. correct them, be patient, be kind. God grants them repentance, and it leads them finally to a knowledge of the truth. God's got to grant them the repentance so that they may come to their senses. That's why you can't have a good discussion with them, because they're out of their mind. They really have no sense about them at all. They have lost their mind. They're a fool. And you can't have a discussion with a fool. Proverbs says they just rage and laugh and they don't really want to hear. They just want to talk. You can't have a discussion with that kind of person. They're out of their mind. They're foolish. They're a fool. They need to come to their senses and, watch this, escape from the snare of the devil. The devil has them ensnared if they're an unbeliever. Every single unbeliever is in the snare of the devil. They've been captured by the devil, watch this, to do his will. There's a lot of people who are marching around for women's rights, and they're really working for Satan to push the agenda of feminism, and they have no clue. There's a lot of people that want a woman's right to choose to abort their baby, and they're really working for Satan unknowingly to kill the image of God inside that woman. They are doing Satan's will, and look, they don't even know it. They're out of their mind. They're lost. They have no clue. And you need to be patient with them, correcting them with the truth of the Scripture, depending upon God to please change their mind. Because if God doesn't, they will never be changed. You can't do it. So relax. Calm down. Correct them. Now, what does this say about you? If you are a Christian, you have been granted repentance. You have been chosen by God. You have been given the grace of Jesus Christ. You've been given something that they have not been given. This is election. This is where God chooses who He's going to save. And if you are a Christian, if you love Jesus, the only reason that you do is because God gave that to you. That should cause all of us to fall on our faces this morning and say, why am I chosen? Why do I love Jesus? Why am I here and not there? Because God's been good to you. He drew a circle around your name before you were ever born, and He said, you're going to be mine. Amen. And I'm going to call you at the appointed time, and I'm going to bring you to my Son. I'm choosing you. Amen. Why? Why did He choose me? It's His good grace and love. It's His freedom to choose who He will. Amen. He chose you if you love Him. If not, you're lost in your sin. You're justifying your sin. You're working for Satan. You're ensnared. And you're locked in unbelief and you can't get out. But if you want to know if that's you this morning, if you care, that's a good start. If you're like, I wonder if that's me. I hope that's not me. That's a good start, because this person doesn't care if that's them. If you care, that's good. It doesn't mean you're saved, but it may mean that God right now is drawing you to come. Run to the cross, because Jesus says, even though God grants repentance, Jesus says, if you come to me, I'm not going to turn you away. Right. Come to the Savior this morning. Amen? Come to Him. And you have the gospel that will change people's mind if God chooses to. Depend on Him. Be patient. Be gentle. Correct them with the Word of God. And relax. Don't get worked up. God's the one that's got to change them. Amen? Lord, thank You for the truth this morning. Thank You for what You've given us. Thank You that You have granted to us repentance. You have graced us with the ability to change our mind. You've done something for us, Lord, that are Christians, that we could never do for ourselves. Lord, Philippians 1:29 says, You have granted us faith as well. Faith and repentance that is commanded to the lost. You have given it to Your sheep. You have given it to Your chosen. You have given it to the ones, Lord, that You circled the name before we were ever born. Lord, You've saved us from sin. We pray that You would save others from sin. I pray that You would draw someone right now to come running to Jesus to escape the snare of the devil, to get out of doing His will, and to begin finally for the first time to do Your will. Thank You for the grace of the gospel. Thank You for the truth that saves. Thank You for our Lord Jesus, who says to all, if you will come to me, I'll never turn you away, but I'll raise you up on the last day. Thank You for the promise of the Lord Jesus, that He keeps us, that no one can ever take us out of His hand, that we are secured because Him and the Father are one. Amen. As sure as the Trinity is, Lord, as sure as our salvation is, because You've saved us and You keep us, Lord. Thank You for this great truth, this great gospel. Help us to be patient with the lost. Help us to know how to answer the fool. Help us to correct them, but help us to patiently endure the criticism and the evil that comes at us, depending on you to do the work of salvation. Thank you for this truth. Thank you for this call. Thank you for this commission. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.